SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to the Early Line on Sports Grid on Sirius XM, Channel 204. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Aaron Dolan. Good morning to all our viewers and listeners. It is now time to get to our 7-7 top headlines. Let's start off in the NBA. Joel Embiid's 38-point performance was not enough for the Sixers to get a home win against the Suns. Sixers were without Ben Simmons and Tobias Harris. Phoenix wins 116-113 with Chris Paul having another massive night. Of course, the 76ers are going to play the Bucks tonight. And then you have the Celtics versus the Suns.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I've been working a little bit on a little side project here that I was thinking about bringing to the show, but sometimes then these things get convoluted. But I was thinking of ranking the 20 best players going into the playoffs in the NBA. Chris Paul, very high on that list. Chris Paul, very, very high on that list. Now, I'm not saying he's top five, but Chris Paul is awesome. He's the best player on this team. He is what has helped turn this Phoenix organization around. Devin Booker, for years, has been begging, get me to the playoffs, get me to the playoffs. Mm-hmm. But you're going to the playoffs, D-Book, and a lot of it has to do with CP3, who has just been awesome. I mean, he was great, and he's been great everywhere. What am I going to list this on? He's been great everywhere, but some folks wondered if he was washed when he left Houston. Not the case in OKC, and absolutely not the case in Phoenix.
Yeah, for sure. And also in the NBA last night, Hawks' Trae Young suffered an ankle sprain in the Hawks' 137-127 overtime loss to the Knicks. Now, he left that game in the third quarter while the Knicks just kept on rolling, 8 straight wins, 11 straight covers. But all around, it's going to be something to keep an eye on for Trae Young, especially as we go towards the playoffs for the Hawks.
Yeah, short term, you give the Knicks credit. 8 in a row is 8 in a row. Nobody can take that away from you, but I think the Hawks would have won that game if Trae was out there. But he wasn't out there. It puts the Knicks in fourth. Here's what it really does, though, now. Pressure on Atlanta, the race for the Southeast Division. Hawks still the favorites at minus 125. The Heat, only a game back, even money. If Trae Young is going to miss an extended period of time, Miami, even if they're a game back, they're going to flip to the favorites. We now wait official confirmation on Trae and how that ankle is looking.
And another team that's rolling, we have the Wizards. They're starting to figure it out with their sixth straight win, beating Steph Curry and the Warriors, 118-114. Steph, of course, cooling off in that game, only 18 points. But the Wizards sitting in that 10th spot in the Eastern Conference standings for the play-in.
Which is massive. Again, you talk about single game elimination. And there is a world in which they're playing in a winner-take-all scenario with not just the best player on the court, but maybe the two best players on the court against the Pacers, against the Hornets. You know, there's a couple of other options out there for Washington. They are finally putting together the results. They've had this ability to beat top teams throughout the year. Now they're beating the teams that they're supposed to. Slight dogs yesterday to Golden State. They do a great job getting that win in their home building, and they're now the 10th spot in the East.
Yeah, and another exciting headline for the NBA. Anthony Davis is set to return. He's confident with 14 regular season games left in the Lakers' push to defend, of course, their NBA title. Now, Davis has been sidelined since February 14th, so we're excited to see him tonight against the Mavericks.
I gotta lie, it's like a childlike smile every time you bring it up. I mean, it's exciting.
It's more for you. Anthony, you get more excited. You're a Lakers fan.
Oh, no. I'm the one who has a childlike smile when you bring it up. Absolutely. I'm not saying that you do, although you should, because AD is back. I mean, this is the best. This is what he's one of the 8 best players in the NBA, and the league is better when he is out there. The league is better when AD is balling. And I cannot wait to see what he looks like. A great return opponent in the Dallas Mavericks. It'll have a good atmosphere. I anticipate that. I cannot wait to see him out there.
And quickly, just want to welcome in our radio audience. You're listening to The Early Line on Sports Grid on Sirius XM, Channel 204. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Aaron Dolan. Happy Thursday, everybody. Doing our 7-7 top headlines. Let's switch it over to Major League Baseball. The A's win 11 straight games on bases loaded and in extra innings. Eric, Kev, what happened in that final play?
Well, everything fell apart defensively for the Twins. But ultimately, the A's just, when you're running hot, you're running hot. Like, I'd like a couple betting picks from the players on the Oakland Athletics because they got the juice right now. They got the flow, 11 consecutive. I thought this team was totally shot after their first two series. They've done just an incredible job. Multiple come-from-behind victories on the road, protecting their home field now. Very, very impressive for Oakland because that start to the season, even if it was only 8 games, could have been enough to really, really sink a team. 11 consecutive. Mm-hmm. What a turnaround from them.
Yeah, we're going to break down Major League Baseball a little bit later in the show. Now let's switch it over to the NFL. If you thought the QB controversy was over in Philadelphia, oh no, it's not. Eagles' Nick Sirianni said yesterday in a press conference that he's not ready to name Jalen Hurts the starter just yet. He also had a unique scouting tactic. Rock, paper, scissors, shoot to see their competitive spirit.
Listen, at some point, you and I are going to play rock, paper, scissors on this show. Here's the thing, though.
I already have my quarterback.
Oh, that's going to be fascinating. All right. Now I'm very excited. That's how you hook people in. I want to buy Jalen Hurts' jersey, but I worry that that's going to be the nail in the coffin of his tenure as the Eagles quarterback. So I'm waiting. I want Hurts as the QB, and Nick Sirianni, he should too.
Yeah, and the NFL also released their scheduled date. That's going to be released May 12th, shortly after we will get the season win totals. I'm sure. Remember, it is a 17-game regular season, which isn't too great when looking at those records.
Yeah, I wonder if it's making it a little bit longer for those that have to make the schedule, probably a little more difficult to figure things out. Really excited to see who the Bucs open up with on that Thursday night game. Mm. That'd be pretty cool to see, too.
Yeah, that'll be definitely exciting. Stay with us here on the Early Line. Coming up next is NBA, MLB, and some NFL talk. Stay with us.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Early Line. I'm Aaron Dolan, joined by my co-host, Kevin Walsh. There's 6 NBA games on the board, so we want to talk about 3 others that we haven't mentioned yet. Starting off with the Hornets-Bulls. Bulls laying 3 in this spot. Charlotte, 5 losses in their last 6 games. Before the Bulls, I mean, they had their season-worst loss against the Cavs last night. So I'm a little surprised that they're able to lay 3, obviously playing at home. Do you have a lean in this game, Kev?
Well, so I see the number here on Chicago. And you have to ask yourself, right, Zach LaVine, what kind of impact would he be having on this game? Because that line tells me Zach is back. No, right? I don't see him on the injury report right now. So, and boy, would it be good to see Zach LaVine back. This has been a disaster for Chicago. This really, really has. I mean, again, they go out there and Nikola Vucevic, you like what you're bringing to the table, and then it doesn't work. LaVine's hurt. Everything is bad. If Zach is back, I'm in on the Bulls. Even if they're on the second leg of a back-to-back, he's not. That's how I see this one. It's almost as simple as that for me. If Zach LaVine is playing, I'm in on the Chicago Bulls.
And the Bulls right now sitting in that 12th spot in the Eastern Conference standings. Another game on the board, we had the Pelicans versus the Magic. Pels, of course, laying 7.5, which is not surprising. But the Pelicans, they need to win this game, just in general. I mean, the Pelicans are 0-5 against the spread in their last 5 road games, 0-4 against the spread in their last 4 games overall. Meanwhile, the Magic are terrible, 1-4 against the spread in their last 5 home games, 1-5 against the spread in their last 6 overall. But I'm saying the Pelicans need to win because they've been dropping a ton of games as of recently.
They have. They really have. And they really only have themselves to blame, I feel like, that they're not more competitive here in the Western Conference. I mean, the Spurs have been awful recently. I know the Warriors got hot with Steph, but, you know, they're still below 500. I mean, 9 and 10 in the West are below 500, and they're 3.5 games back. It's It's quite unacceptable for the Pelicans. We've talked about this earlier in the week. There's going to need to be some changes made, whether it be the roster, the coach, the front office. I'm not sure what it's going to be, but something does have to change. And I'm not saying that to be overreactionary. There's just too much talent here for them to be sat at 25 and 33. We've seen that. They've had big performances. You know, a month or so ago, blew the Clippers out on their home floor. You see it at times with New Orleans. But then they go to Orlando and lose the game. Like, what is going on here with this team? I'm not laying eight with the Pelicans, but I also don't really fancy taking points with the Orlando Magic. I think it's a good spot to come in and play an over. Mm-hmm. We've been seeing the Pels and what they did the other day with the Brooklyn Nets. I mean, that game had a gazillion points in it. I know the most recent Orlando game ended up sneaking under the number there. But before that, they had been playing to a considerable amount of overs. I believe it was 8 of their last 10 before the most recent under there. So give me a Pelicans number, Aaron, that's going to be nowhere near their typical high 230s. I'm thinking mid-220s, and try and play that to the over.
Yeah, and the Pelicans right now sitting that number 11 spot in the Western Conference standings, 3 games behind the Spurs. And the Spurs tonight are playing the Detroit Pistons at home. Right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook, they are laying 8. Now, the Spurs won back on March 15th, 109-99. So a lot of people probably expecting a similar result tonight. Detroit just lost to the Mavs last night. Spurs were stomped by the Heat. Would you take this 8 with the Spurs, Kev?
Of course. We always take the points with the Pistons. I love the Pistons. How do you not love the Pistons? What is this team doing 7 games above 500 against the spread? I mean, they're so bad. They are awful. They're 18-41, and they are 32-25-2 against the number. That is incredible. They lose all the time, but they cover. Yesterday, getting 10.5 to Dallas, lose by 10. I mean, they just know what they're doing. They are an absolute delight. I mean this. I think the Detroit Pistons are tremendous. I don't really care. The Spurs have also been awful as a home favorite. 6-11 against the number this season as a home favorite. Overall, 12-19 against the number at home. Not been good. Give me the Pistons. Always give me the Pistons. I love this team. They're great.
Yeah, they do always cover. We love a team that can cover, even if they're not winning. We ride some of those teams. I was thinking that with the Memphis Grizzlies didn't work out for me, but hopefully it works out for your Detroit Pistons. All right, let's talk about teams to make the playoffs and some of the markets that are available in the FanDuel Sportsbook. Right now I'm seeing you can bet on the Hornets, you have the Bulls, Warriors, Pacers, Knicks, Spurs, Raptors, and the Wizards available at least right now in the PA markets. Are there any ones that you feel, Kev, are really strong to bet on right now?
So I think there are some that are really interesting, for sure. Like Charlotte, for example. Charlotte is a plus 138 to make the playoffs. And if we look at it right now, they're a game and a half up on the Indiana Pacers while being 2 back of Miami. It is more likely that Charlotte drops out of the 7-8 game than perhaps, say, avoids the play-in scenario. But with LaMelo Ball returning, I could still see Charlotte at that plus number being worth the play. But if you compare them, Aaron, and this is one of the things that we love to do, is just try to get a sense, well, what is the book saying, right? The Pacers are still favored to make the playoffs at minus 122. That means that they look at everyone below Indiana. Indiana is the favorite. And there's a clear expectation, I believe at least, that Indiana is going to play Charlotte from the book and that Indiana would be favored in that game. My thing is, I don't think Indiana is favored over anybody that isn't the Charlotte Hornets in that game. I think Indiana's interesting on a no at even money as well when you're looking at, just because I feel like they're going to have to win 2 games. So I know you're getting value then on that even money number.
Do you feel that for some of these markets, for example, with the Chicago Bulls, yes, plus 980, no, minus 2,200. Do you think some of these markets are just going to come off the board if these teams start losing some of these games?
So that, you know, it's actually funny. Right here on the Jersey book that I'm using, I actually don't see the Chicago Bulls. Yeah. So I didn't realize that they were offering the Bulls at plus 980. That's crazy.
Well, as you know, Kev, I'm in Philly. Kev's in New Jersey for anybody wondering our locations and why sometimes we have different markets.
But that's good. It gives us a sense of everything that's available out there.
Yep.
Plus 980. How could that be? How could that be? That's a tremendous number. Chicago Bulls, for as bad as things have gone, right, they're still only a half game back of the Washington Wizards. And if the Wizards go back to dropping a couple of games there, I mean, Zach LaVine, again, if he's going to be making his way back, do not tell me that the Bulls in the play-in cannot beat Indiana. They cannot beat Charlotte. Plus 980. But again, those are the kind of numbers, Aaron, that I'm more interested in than the Indiana numbers, than the Charlotte numbers. All I need is the Bulls to get to the play-in. I promise you, if you get plus 980 into the play-in, you can make money. I promise you that, okay?
Are you trying to have me put in a bet for you, Kev? I think you might be.
Well, listen, I think as a team, I think as a group here,
the early line,
we might want to get a little...
Yeah, if you could all bet into one thing together. Yeah.
I think all right, we all should get a little plus 980.
Other teams, yeah, it wouldn't be bad. Like the New York Knicks that obviously with the yes, it's minus 1,200. You're not going to bet into this market, but you also made a great point at the beginning of the show. If you did bet no, plus 680, you would have better value there.
Yeah, you would just be better off trying to get them into the play-in. The reason the Knicks number is now so high is there's seemingly a lot of confidence that they'll be avoiding the play-in. And look, fair enough. They've won 8 games in a row. Mm-hmm. I do think it's noteworthy that an 8-game win streak has them a game and a half clear of the play-in. Things are still very tight in the Eastern Conference. A little less than 15 games remaining. There's going to be a lot of things, I think at least, that move around in both the East and the West.
Yep, and stay with us here on The Early Line. Coming up next, we're going to talk about Major League Baseball. Stay with us.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to The Early Line on SportsGrid on SiriusXM Channel 204. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Aaron Dolan. Happy Thursday, to all our viewers and listeners. I don't even know what day it is anymore when you wake up so early and we do a 7 to 9 show. Let's get into some Major League Baseball, Kev. I'm going to kick it off with the Phillies getting the win over the Giants 6-5 yesterday. Good win for the Phillies because they avoid being swept with one run in that ninth inning.
Mm-hmm. Bryce Harper's on fire. Bryce Harper is absolutely on fire right now. He's batting .357 on the year, had a homer late in this game that tied things up at 5 and scored the winning run off of that nap single. Like, we're talking about MVPs quite a lot because, well, let's be honest here. It's fun to talk about MVPs. Bryce Harper is up to 18-1 to win the NL MVP. Very deserved. I mean, he is the most consistent thing about this Phillies team right now. I know that they will be very worried, Phillies fans, that the bullpen is kind of back up to their old tricks, and that's not good. But Bryce Harper's saving the day. I'm loving what Bryce is bringing to the table. Big Bryce Harper guy here, so I'm happy about that.
Yeah, and I'm just happy overall that we weren't swept by the Giants. Obviously, we dropped those first two games, so they win the series. Now, let's talk about, I'm sorry, I got to bring it up, the Braves beating the Yankees yesterday 4-1. I know that they had won that first game. This was only a 2-game series. But I wanted to quickly ask you, because you mentioned this yesterday, don't be surprised if they drop the next game. It's not like they're going to just completely switch gears and have this momentum. What happened in this game that they weren't able to sustain just getting another win?
Yeah, Yankees are terrible. I mean, I don't know what else to say. They're not good. They're not a good team.
Yeah.
Like, DJ LeMahieu bats .277. That's significantly worse than what we're accustomed to. Aaron Judge is batting .268. You'd like for that to be better. But quite frankly, the rest of this Yankees lineup must look at those two and be like, how do they do it? Giancarlo Stanton, .158, kick rocks. Gleyber Torres, .186, get lost. Mike Ford, why he's in this lineup. Aaron Hicks went from the three hitter down to the seven hitter. Beat it. Gary Sanchez is hitting 200. I mean, goodness gracious. Awful. Gio Urshela also deserves a little bit of credit there, along with LeMahieu and Judge, for at least doing something. I mean, it's unbelievable. Unbelievable. Clint Frazier had an RBI single in the bottom of the ninth that helped me get a live over home alongside with Donnie Wrightside late on in-play sports tonight. So I left this game with better vibes than I should have. But, yeah, like they're not good. That's just what it comes down to. George Kurtz, who always comes on with us, talks a little baseball, talks a little hockey, knows this Yankees team well. I was having a conversation with him. And even though he's a diehard Yanks fan, he goes, I am betting against them and I'm betting the under until they prove me that that's a mistake. And you know what? More often than not, George is cashing multiple tickets because the Yankees are not hitting at all.
Yeah, and the Yankees stay on the FanDuel Sportsbook. They're going to be playing the Indians on the road with a total at 8.5, and the Indians favored -120. So would you have any lean in this game, Kev, or are you just, again, going to use what George Kurtz has told you, taking those unders there, and also potentially just fading the Yankees until they prove you otherwise?
I'm just so tired of it. I was pretty beaten down yesterday watching that game.
We can switch gears here because I feel like I'm hearing it in your voice. You're ready to wrap this up.
I am genuinely sad by this team. We have to talk about it. It's important. The favorites to win the American League have the worst record in the American League. Like that. So it's very noteworthy stuff, but I can't hide it. I can't pretend. Like it is, they are a depressing baseball team to watch. So yeah. The Indians and under is the play until this team wakes up. I hope they see Shane Bieber during this series. He might strike out 27 batters and throw a perfect game. Boy, this team stinks.
All right, let's also talk about, we'll switch away from this. The Cubs beating the Mets yesterday 16-4. There were 7 runs for the Cubs in that fourth inning, 3 in the fifth, 4 in the sixth. I mean, they just could not get it together. Also, 2 in the eighth. These teams are going to be playing each other again today, which is interesting. The Mets right now favored -126. And why you see that is because obviously the pitching matchup, something to keep in mind with baseball, of course, it's the most important thing. And the total at 9, obviously with this game hitting 20 runs yesterday, would you just blindly bet the over there?
I would be interested in the over, not even just blindly, although listen, you know, I mean, I love a good blind over, but the Cubs bats, I think they might be here. Here to stay, I'm not sure, but if you look now, they, after being the worst scoring offense to start the season, 13-4-3-16. And even you're like, 4-3 isn't great. It's way better than what they were doing. Plus, just some absolute outbursts with the Chicago Cubs. Don't look now, all of a sudden, a game away from being .500. I'm impressed with what I'm seeing from the Cubs. I do think the Mets lineup, though, can go out there and bring some pop to Wrigley Field. I think the over 9 is a nice play.
Interesting. Also yesterday in Major League Baseball, we have the Brewers beating the Padres 4-2. But the Padres going to take on the Dodgers today with a total at 8. Dodgers favored -184 on the money line on the FanDuel Sportsbook with Bueller on the mound. Which way would you play this Padres team?
So it's crazy. We're running it back, right? As it pertains to Dodgers-Padres after just that incredible series. Mm-hmm. We're doing it again. And the Padres will be very disappointed in the results that they did not come away with against Milwaukee. Ultimately, LA, for the most part, handled their business. They dropped a game to Seattle, but not too much damage done. I look at Walker Buehler. I mean, this number was -180 when I started talking and is now -184. Not a massive movement, but I think a lot of people are going to be clicking the Dodgers, and I think a lot of people should be clicking the Dodgers. Walker Buehler is phenomenal. He really, really is. And the Dodgers are -160 on the money line for the first 5, and they're -112 if you're laying a run and a half. I think both of those numbers, depends if you're somebody that prefers to play it a little safer, a little more juice, then the -160 is an option. If you're somebody, though, that you know, minus 112 is more your wheelhouse, then, mm-hmm. well, no harm, no foul, no problem. I absolutely right now look at this position here, and I think give me first five Dodgers.
And I also want to mention some of the games that happened yesterday that are also these two teams are going to play each other again today, starting off with the Diamondback versus the Reds. So 8-5 win there. So right now on the FanDuel Sportsbook, total at 8 with the Reds favored, minus 142 on the money line. Then we also have the Pirates and the Tigers. They split their doubleheader yesterday with the Pirates right now as the underdog plus 108, but of course a short underdog there with a total at 8.5 against the Tigers. Do you like either of these games today?
So one thing is Cincinnati at home has continued to be a play to the over consistently. 9 of 11 home games for the Cincinnati Reds have cashed over. And this is the same thing that we used to talk about, or used to, we still do, in the NBA. When you can get a trend, and if you're following it, just make life easy on yourself. Just keep coming back in on these overs for home Reds games right now, especially if you're running hot with this thing. Like, they've cashed over tickets in 4 of 5 since they started the Cleveland series. Why complicate things? Just keep betting the over. Keep cashing those tickets. And even if you go on a, you know, even if you lose 2 in a row, you're still up overall with these home games for the Reds to the over. As far as the Tigers and the Pirates go, look, these are a couple of bad teams all in all. You see the matchup, you maybe give it a little bit of lean towards the Tigers. Very appropriate, Aaron, that they split their doubleheader. Neither one of these teams has any business winning 2 games in 1 day.
Yeah, and right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook, looking at the Dodgers, we mentioned them, they're minus 184 on the money line. Another big favorite today is the Boston Red Sox over the Mariners, minus 174 on the money line, with the total at 9.5 now. Of course, the Red Sox just split their series against the Blue Jays, losing yesterday 6-3 to Toronto. So do you have any lean towards this game, Kev?
So I think Boston's come back to the fold a little bit. When we think about, obviously, that tremendous run that they were on, winning a bazillion games in a row, Aaron was bullying me, laughing at me, ha-ha, look how good the Boston Red Sox are. Luckily, things have come back to the field a little bit right now on Boston. I still, though, I see that big number there on the Red Sox, and I just can't get to the window on it. And this isn't even an anti-Red Sox thing. It's just this is a team that we thought would be probably one of the lesser squads in the league this year. That's a big change in perception for them to be laying minus 174. I think this could be a dog you take a shot on here in the Seattle Mariners. They just had a really competitive series with the LA Dodgers. Minus 138, if that's your bag, plus a run and a half on the Mariners, I think that's another fine look.
And I have to ask you about the Astros. They're playing the Angels today. They're actually favored in this matchup. But it's interesting that the Astros just continue to drop games. I'm looking at their schedule right now, being swept by the Detroit Tigers. And then the Mariners also beating them. Looking, Rockies just beat them 2 games in a row. Now that they face the Angels, why are they favored in this matchup?
Well, this is the thing. You know, they got some of those pieces back, right? At least Alex Bregman's back for the Astros. But doesn't mean he's back. Think about Jason Tatum. Jason Tatum is months removed from COVID. Mm-hmm. Talks about having to use the inhaler, still kind of working his way back. The Astros, boy, what a different world we are in. Opening weekend, Astros take 4 games off the Oakland Athletics. 4 in a row. Clean sweep in Oakland. They're now 7-10, and the A's have won 11 straight games. Unbelievable.
Yeah, absolutely unbelievable. Stay with us here on the Early Line. Coming up next, we're going to talk about the NFL and some of the new NFL draft markets. Stay with us.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I'm SiriusXM, channel 204. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Aaron Dolan. Now, we've been talking about the NFL draft all week, and we're going to continue to talk about it until, of course, it happened April 29th. That will be happening. But 2 markets are now available in the FanDuel Sportsbook that Kevin and I wanted to talk about. One being the New York Giants' first draft pick and the Eagles' first draft pick as well. And also, we just noticed this morning, you can also bet on the number 4 overall pick and the number 3 overall pick. We'll talk about an update there in terms of the quarterback markets. But Kev, let's first start off with the Philadelphia Eagles. All around, we have this market, but we first want to talk about Nick Sirianni and what you thought of his comments made in the press conference yesterday, because that's going to determine also who we want to take in this market.
He's a wild card. It's what we called him to start the show. It's what I'm going to stick with here. His opening press conference was madness, and apparently it wasn't going to be a one-time thing. Apparently all of his press conferences are set to be absolute madness. It is going to make things really easy for Aaron and I to just talk about the Eagles, because it means providing content. Mm-hmm. So I guess you could appreciate that. The big takeaway, though, was this idea that we were going to have a quarterback competition. Who's the competition? Mm-hmm. Joe Flacco? What are we talking about here? See, I saw that news and I got worried. Are we drafting quarterback
quickly,
at 12?
We do have to mention that it was broken in an interesting light. There were some quotes that were taken out of context, which we can both agree on, because Adam Schefter did correct himself a little bit. So I think there was like an initial, oh my gosh, what did he just say? What are we going to do? But I think that he was just trying to make the overall point that there was competitiveness on the team and just he's waiting for these Zoom calls and whatnot. But still, the way he went about it was just not great. He needs some media training. He really does. Especially for fans like Philadelphia fans, you know, not to throw somebody in the fire that badly. Like, he should have media training on exactly what to say. Or maybe he thinks that's the right way to talk, but obviously he had to have known that was going to send red flags everywhere.
I don't know. What if Adam Schefter needs media training? I mean, does this guy have to make the list? I mean, does Schefter know what he's doing here? Come on, now you're
Kevin's,
worrying
Kevin's
Birds
mad at
fans.
Him. I'm going to be honest.
I mean, you know what? I am. I am. I will not be unmad at Adam Schefter until he announces that the Eagles are going to draft Devonta Smith. Look, here's the reality, though. My big concern when I saw that initial update, until they had to basically clarify, sorry, we just made a clickbait headline, this is a zero story, was, oh my gosh, are they going to draft a quarterback? Are they going to trade up? Are they going to take Mac Jones? Are they going to take Trey Lance? Like, I can't do this. We were at 6. Apparently, we wanted to move up. I've been losing my mind over this subject basically since the Eagles landed in the 6th spot. We traded back to 12. I remember I was like, this is great. These dummies now cannot go out there and draft a quarterback. They're too far away. You just don't. You don't. They're going to take Davis Mills out of Stanford. I mean, it's going to be a nightmare. I'm going to cry. I trust that it's going to be Hurts. I trust it's going to be Jalen Hurts, and it should be Jalen Hurts. It is insane that this team would take Jalen Hurts in last year's draft when they did, and then let Carson Wentz go, and then not give Jalen Hurts an opportunity to be this team's quarterback. The idea, look, competition, okay, fine. Joe Flacco's going to compete. If Joe Flacco beats out Jalen Hurts, we got much bigger issues here. Jalen Hurts is going to be the guy. Nick Sirianni is going to be a wild card, though. That's very evident.
Yeah, I think he's obviously going to be a wild card. But again, just giving us great quotes to talk about. So why don't we head over to the Eagles' first draft pick. You have Surtain plus 300, Devonta Smith plus 420, which is, I feel like, a crowd favorite here in Philly. And you also have Jalen Waddle at plus 420 as well. Do you like these top three picks? Do you think we could potentially be able to bet in one of these? Or are you going with somebody down the board?
So I actually think there's inherent value in this market, because I disagree with the favorite being Patrick Surtain. Aaron, Patrick Surtain has a draft position over under of 10.5 minus 148 juice to the under, right? Well, it means he's not going to be on the board at 12. Therefore, he cannot be the favorite at plus 300 to be the Eagles' first draft pick. So that means Devonta Smith and everybody beneath him is value, because the wrong guy is favored. Devonta Smith at plus 420 jumps off the page. Jalen Waddle at plus 420. Not bad, but maybe the best value then, if there's a thought that the Eagles are going to draft corner, is J.C. Horn, who has significantly more likely to be on the board for the Birds at 12 than Patrick Surtain, who, again, even by the FanDuel Sportsbook's odds, suggests to us he will not be a selection that is even an option for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, that's interesting. And I think what's also, in terms of the odds makers and things that I'm seeing right now, we see Jaylen Waddle and we also see Devonta Smith, because I'm looking at the Giants' first draft pick as well. They're the same odds in basically every market. So they're plus 390 as the favorites. And then this also with Rashawn Slater at plus 390. But it's for their player over-unders as well. They're both at 11.5. So it seems like people are still deeming these two exactly the same. And either player has an edge here, which I think is interesting.
No, 100%. Yeah. And part of that is Devonta Smith is seemingly getting banged up in this process because of his size. Mm-hmm. Boy, is that a mistake. People are really going to overthink this Devonta Smith thing. Jaylen Waddle, though, with the injuries, I wonder how much that's kind of hampered his draft stock. I mean, clearly not that much. He's meant to be a top 12 selection, and you expect him to be as much. When it comes to the Giants, though, we'll kind of pull back to yesterday's conversation around that Peter Schrager mock draft, talking about them drafting a corner. J.C. Horn at 10-1 to be the Giants' first pick feels like a lot of value there. He stressed the idea that they might look corner. And I just know that when I look at Devonta Smith and Jaylen Waddle and Rashawn Slater at plus 390, a lot up in the air. Not as much value behind that in my estimation, but I think J.C. Horn at 10-1 jumps off the page right away. I think J.C. Horn, funny enough, might be the best value for both the Giants and the Eagles' first draft pick.
There you go, a little early line special on the NFL draft. Now, Kevin and I have also been updating you all week on the number 3 pick overall. The number 4 pick has now just become available. Now, for the number 3 pick, Mac Jones is now minus 145. We had Justin Fields became the favorite. Then there was rumors about Trey Lance. So why do you think Mac Jones has suddenly jumped to the favorite? Do you think they know something about the 49ers? They finally made their mind up about a quarterback?
Yeah. I mean, look, no, I think we
would
know.
It's jumping all over the place. Every day is something.
It really, really is. It really is. Yeah, you have to wonder how much of this movement might come from the FanDuel Sportsbook specifically having people click and bet on Mac Jones, right? Because we know sometimes these numbers move with rumors. We also know, though, that it moves with the amount that, at least I believe, people might be wagering on a certain bet. So perhaps a lot of people are just right now betting on Mac Jones. Here's the one thing I at least feel comfortable saying, Aaron, and it's that Trey Lance at plus 290 isn't really worth it anymore. It just doesn't seem like it's Lance, right? It feels like this is Mac Jones or Justin Fields. It would not surprise me that if you took Justin Fields plus 165, we are a week away from the NFL draft, that at some point in the next week, you're able to get a plus number on Mac Jones and lock in profit and not worry about this craziness here for the third overall pick.
Yeah, it's definitely been a crazy market. But now that the number 4 overall market has come available, we have Kyle Pitts minus 140, Justin Fields plus 175, Trey Lance plus 230, then Mac Jones 15-1, and everybody else falls down the board. Do you find any value on betting on this market as well?
So this is my thing, right? Over under Kyle Pitts draft position is 5.5 at minus 156. To be the fourth pick, he's minus 140. I know I've said repeatedly, I don't think he can go 5, but for $16, I want the fifth pick in my pocket. Don't bet Kyle Pitts at minus 140. I would rather lose an additional $16 than this guy go fifth. I do not want to see that happen. So when I look at the fourth pick and I try to find some extra value, I think Penny Sewell at 24-1, I think the Atlanta Falcons can still draft a tackle. I think Penny Sewell really, really does pop off the page. Here's what I think is so interesting, though. Look at how down the board Mac Jones is at 15-1. Why is that? Is that full confidence that he's off the board at 3? Absolutely not. It's only minus 135 to go third. Why is Mac Jones 15-1 to go fourth overall? I cannot make heads or tails of that. Is there certainty that Atlanta wouldn't draft him? Doesn't matter. They might be trading. Why wouldn't a Lions, a Panthers, whomever it might be unwilling to come up for Mac Jones at 4? That Mac Jones number is very, very puzzling to me.
And we've been talking about that, the Atlanta Falcons, and how we're not sure exactly how they're going to play that number four overall pick. You just mentioned they could potentially trade it. Are there any big trades within the top 15 right now that you think could potentially happen? I know a lot of people have been looking the Lions to the Patriots. People have said the Eagles could potentially trade up. Now you're talking about the Falcons as well. Do you see in your eyes, of course, what could be some big shifts in those top 15?
Yeah, great question. So just look at the top 12 teams, right? 1, 2, 3, they're put. They're staying there. 4, Atlanta Falcons, they're thinking about trading. 6, the Miami Dolphins, they're thinking about trading. 7, the Detroit Lions, they're thinking about trading. These all teams trading backwards. We've also heard 10, 11, and 12, Cowboys, Giants, Eagles, all possibly willing to trade back. That's great that you want to trade back. A lot of teams do, okay? A lot of teams would rather more picks because they're split on a couple of guys and they say, we'll just be able to get one of our preferred choices. So you don't worry about that too much. Who wants to trade up? We hear Denver. We hear Arizona. We hear New England. I feel more often than not, those are the three teams we hear talking about trading up. It's why the Denver Broncos are also one of the most important teams. You've heard me call the Falcons the most important team in the draft. I stand by that. I think Denver, though, is really important because they're linked to quarterback. I think they could sit there at 9, make everybody else in front of them make a decision, and come away with their quarterback. But if they're aggressive, that's how you cash Trey Lance under tickets. That's how you all of a sudden see some other elite skill positions, you know, slip down the board further than perhaps some might think. The Broncos and their willingness to come up for a quarterback or just draft a quarterback would impact this market quite a bit.
And I feel that since this number four overall market is already posted, don't you think that kind of gives you an inkling that the Falcons aren't going to trade? Just because it is bettable right now? Or do you think it could still be up in the air and they could potentially do it? I mean, obviously anything can happen. They could just take this market down. It just, to me, screams, obviously, even though we have these rumors that they might trade, that since there's odds already posted, that it might not be as likely as we think.
I would actually say that this is, the Falcons are the reason why this says, all of these say odds to be the number four overall pick and not odds to be drafted by the Falcons. Because there's not certainty that it's going to be the Falcons drafting at 4. That's how at least I look at it because, you know, we know that the Jags are staying put. We know the Jets are staying put, but it's consistency. So I think that might be part of the reason there. And I think that's why the two quarterbacks in Fields and Lance would be those next two choices, plus 175 and plus 230 respectively.
Yeah, good to see some new markets up on the FanDuel Sportsbook. We'll be right back after the break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Happy Thursday and welcome to the Early Line. I'm Aaron Dolan, joined by co-host Kevin Walsh. Now, in our last segment, we talked about Nick Sirianni and some of the comments that he made in his press conference, one of them being to test competitiveness, he wanted to do rock, paper, scissors, shoot. So Kevin and I are going to do just one off the bat together. I told him that I have a strategy. I hope he has a strategy as well because both of us are clearly very competitive. So Kevin and I are going to do rock, paper, scissors. So Kev, you ready?
Yeah, let's make it happen. Let's make it happen. Here we go.
All right, am I going to start us off here?
Rock. Yeah, here we go. 1, 2, 3. Rock, paper,
rock, scissors, paper, scissors, shoot.
Oh, there's a huge delay. I win!
Oh, I thought you were going to go win with the rock.
No, I win with scissors. Listen,
I was thinking about it all morning. I'm like, he's going to go with rock because he's going to think I'm going to go with scissors. And then here we go.
Okay,
this is why you don't test this for which position you're going to be in.
Okay, so here's the thing. Couple things now with that little experiment. One, maybe still a delay. Higher ups might want to just, you see, there's still a little bit of delay. But two, okay, now here's a little strategy. Before, earlier in the show, you did a little mock, right, of your rock, paper, scissors and went with paper. And I went, is that a mind game? You did. You did. And I went, is that a mind game? Is that a trick? But I had decided last night. I decided last night I was going scissors, and I would have beat myself up if I would have overthought and fell for the mind game. Looks like, though,
I didn't realize I did that.
So that's how you – see, there you go. Little scissors action.
Maybe you
scissors
are a little bit more competitive than I thought.
Well, scissors is very dangerous, okay? So that's why I – like, paper is wild to me. Like, a little paper cut, come on. Scissors, violence,
no,
you see
it
coming.
No, but the paper always goes over the rock. So I feel like that – I thought that was a strong play at the beginning. But here, clearly my strategy did not work, but it is fine. We've tested our competitiveness. I don't know how Nick Sirianni is doing this with people who play for multi-million-dollar contracts, but, you know.
Yeah.
Conversation.
We might have to do a rematch during the season, but it looks like I'll be entering as the favorite.
We'll have to be doing it with the three rounds. We'll see you tomorrow morning here on the Early Line, 7 to 9 a.m. Eastern on Sports Grid on Sirius XM, Channel 204.
Sports info
is everywhere.
We cut through all the clutter and bring you actionable insights and expert perspectives every single day.